This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
They say pizza is like sex. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty bad. Today we're discussing, what's the sexiest food? This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Inaiti.
And today we're excited to be joined by Ned Fulmer. Ned's a beloved member of the Try Guys, two-time best-selling author, host of two podcast series, and the father of two children. Ned, congrats on the sex. He and his wife Ariel recently. He and his wife Ariel recently released the Date Night Cookbook, making him the perfect person to talk about the love language of food. Ned, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. What's
Thanks.
Up, guys?
Hey, I'm
Not
glad
too
you're
much,
here.
Man.
Can confirm I have had sex.
Mazel tov.
Two children. Up. It counts.
Was it disappointing? Like, did you? Because like you read about
the
it.
You read
about it, and then it happens, and you're like, well, you know.
I'm sorry, that happened for you.
No, it's okay. You know, we all have it. Anyways, we are talking about the sexiest food. Also, disclosure, I wanted to call this, what's the perfect first date food? And then Nicole just goes, no, I want to talk about what's sexy to us.
Yeah, I'm all about sexy stuff.
Good call, Nicole.
Thank you. I think first date food can't be too sexy, can't be too, like, evocative, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, you can't just bring out, like, a plate of oysters and truffle pasta and, like, a steak medium rare. Like, that's too much.
You gotta slow burn it.
Yeah.
You gotta slow play it.
Yeah, you gotta do, like, a sexy carrot.
Well,
you know
what
I mean?
If we find the perfect first date food, we will eventually figure out the sexiest food.
You're right.
Because things will be going in the right
natural
direction.
Progression.
You have to escalate it to
the
sexiest.
Sure.
I mean, this is a great segue to plug the hell out of Ned's cookbook because it is really cool the way that you structured it. You literally structured it based on the stages of a relationship, right?
Yeah.
It's literally from first date, then, you know, meeting each other's friends and cooking these big lavish meals and settling into comfortability and stuff like that. So, I mean, to you, what you've been in a relationship for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What does the sexiest food look like now?
I think it's got to be chocolate. Anything chocolate. Probably the sexiest recipe in the cookbook is, you know, it starts with attraction and then dating. And then we have a disappointment chapter, which is maybe a breakup or maybe it's just a fight.
Sure.
But then the best part of the disappointment chapter is the kiss and makeup meals, which are kind of like
excellent.
But best, most extravagant. So we have a raspberry flourless chocolate cake. That's kind of like a, you know, an I'm sorry cake.
That's very
that's objectively sexy.
Yeah.
But
saying
flourless?
I'm sorry is sexy. Apologizing whenever you make a big mistake. Yeah, making a mistake and saying sorry is very sexy.
That's true.
More people should apologize.
I think the sexiest thing is being yourself.
But like, what about in food?
Okay. So you and I have talked a lot, and I'm curious to hear Ned's take on this about like how key food was to our attraction or romantic partner, right? Like how it's like a linchpin that binds it. And I remember I made a very conscious choice that when I started going on dates with people, that I would just like show my full self through food because food is the most important thing in my life. It's the lens through which I view the world. And so I was like, I'm not going to try and be prim and proper. I'm going to go in and just be the old dirty bastard version of myself, just eating with my hands, being an absolute slob because that's me. And if anybody rejects that, why would I ever want that? And so I remember going on my first date with Julia. We've now been together for 2 years, been living together for one of them. And on our first date, we just, you know, basically fired the menu at Nightshade, my favorite restaurant in Los Angeles.
Very good.
And I could tell that she was trying to, like, be prim and proper, not embarrass herself. And then at some point, we're a couple cocktails in, and she's having this, you know, deep conversation. She's, like, wildly gesticulating with her hands. And then she just grabs, like, a roasted carrot and swipes it through tamarind caramel and just goes, like, and starts sucking it off her fingers. And to me, that was, like, that was the sexiest thing. It was just, like, you know how to hang.
That's
and
nice.
So I love that. Were there any, like, indicators with both of your partners that, like, oh, they're down AF?
Wow. With my husband right now, or like in the past,
or a past lover you want to reconnect
with?
Well,
one really interesting story is I was on a date with a guy, and there was lamb chops, and he had a knife and fork, but I just kind of went in and I picked up the lamb chop and I ripped through, and he immediately said, "I love you." And I was like, "Oh no!" I was like, "Oh no! Please, no, no!" But with David, one of our first dates was actually I made a card and I invited him to my house for a Valentine's Day dinner. And I kicked my parents out of the house. I'm like, I need the kitchen February 14th from 5 o'clock to ? And then I made like a full, like, I made like, what did I make? I made like a hamachi crudo. I made a steak. I made like roasted broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Like, I did a whole like coursed out meal.
You did the damn thing. Crudo?
I wanted
to
impress
$17,
him.
$17,
yeah. I wanted to impress him like really badly. I'm like, yeah, you're dating a food person. Look at this. So then he was just very appreciative because honestly, my steak came out really chewy and I was so embarrassed. I'm like, oh no, my steak is chewy. I'm so upset. But he's like, don't worry. Like, your effort was incredible. I loved it. What a fun thing. I can't wait to do this with you again. So that was really special.
That's a very nice thing to say. Your effort was incredible, and I had a great time. I can't wait to do this again.
He like gave me a gold star, and he's like, good job. Thank you so much. And that was probably one of like the first food memories I've made with David. That's very special to me to this day.
Ned, when did you know Ariel was the one?
Oh, I mean, I knew she was a special person right away. I mean, the first night that we met, we just kept trying to like get closer and closer to each other. It was like a 8-person, 9-person party where everyone talks in one giant circle, and it's like sometimes it's a group conversation, it really shouldn't be. We were the people dominating the group conversation. Slowly worked my way to be sitting right next to each to her. But I knew right away in terms of food, we connect over Chardonnay and pasta, Italian food. One of our very first dates, I took her to like the fancy Italian place near us, and we got a a table with candles. We were like 21, 22.
Were you kind of faking
exciting.
It a little bit?
Oh, we were totally putting on the Ritz, like putting like, oh, this is my best shirt.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I ordered this. They had this like 1-pound meatball, which I was like, oh wow, this is gonna be awesome. We're gonna split this giant thing. It's gonna be hilarious. And then it turns out she didn't eat beef or pork.
Wow.
So then I'm just have this giant thing in front of me. And then there's this sense of like, I don't know, I wanted to like show her like how tough I was by like putting down this giant piece
all
of meat.
All on your own.
I tried my hardest. I got about a three quarters of the way through it. I mean, come on now. But
that's a big meatball, but that's an untenably large meatball.
Yeah. But we learned, we learn new things about each other.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's funny, especially on the first couple dates, like when you're thinking things may at least get reasonably physically intimate, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you're faced with a thing of like, should I order the 1-pound meatball and try and eat it?
No, wouldn't do that. No, do not do food challenges on
a first date
or a third date or anything. Yeah,
that's good advice.
I do remember hearing Roy Choi talk about the difference between like American dating culture and Korean dating culture in that regard, where he was at Dansungsa, which is a great like Korean just drinking hub that has super drunk food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have like the army stew with the spam and the kimchi and the ramen noodles and all that. One of my favorite places in the world. I think Julie and I went on our like fifth date there.
Nice.
So we had, enough sort of runway to be able to be that comfortable. But he was saying how in Korean dating culture, you will just drink a bunch of soju, drink a bunch of beer, eat the most squid and garlic and kimchi possible, and then be way too full to have sex, and then just go home and just do it anyways. He's like, that has been my experience with Korean dating culture. And there's a part of me that's just like, that Now that's romance.
That's sexy. Yeah,
pushing through your physical limitations to be intimate with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that, yeah.
I think there's an intimacy in being gross together.
I get that, but I can't think of a belly there's nothing worse than sex and a belly full of squid. I'm sorry, I can't. The two just don't mesh for me personally. I have a question for you guys. What do you guys think is the least sexiest food? Like whenever you're on a date, like what's something that's just like, I'm not going to order this whenever I'm with my partner? Do you have one?
Porridge. Wait, no, Julie and I ate a lot of porridge on our first date. Yeah, no, it was congee. Yeah, we just ate a big bowl of porridge with pork floss in
it. That's nice.
And that was really great. I don't know that I consider any food unsexy in a vacuum.
Hmm.
No, I think for me, it's kind of what we were talking about of being like uncomfortably full.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that I can do the Korean dating culture thing that you were talking about. But for me, the one food that I can't under-eat is, like, Indian food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always want to get, like, one more thing or, like, two more things.
Yeah.
Then you have, like, six different dishes, and you're like, oh, I really should have had two.
Yeah.
And then you just have a little taste of everything. And anytime, I'm just always uncomfortably full. Does not lead to intimacy.
Yeah.
Which, as you progress in a relationship, that's, like, those are the best nights where you both just have the, like, hey, yo, this ain't gonna happen. Or, like, Julie and I recreated a meal from Peter Luger's.
Oh, nice.
Very famous steakhouse in Brooklyn that she grew up going to all the time. And, like, you know, we did the bacon, we did the wedge salad, we just did the whole damn thing. Just a giant shrimp cocktail. I paid way too much for steak from a cut above butcher shop, which does great work.
They do.
And then afterwards, it was like, all right, we're going to bed. High five.
Yeah.
Roll over.
Yeah.
One of those nights where you don't even brush your teeth. You're like, oh, it's a morning me problem. I'll see you. See you, champ.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably fighting a stomach ache even just to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to lay on your stomach and take a Gas-X. But I think one of the foods for me, in Farsi, there's this term called dam kar dam. And it's whenever you eat too much food and it's like you're roasting yourself. So I think one of the foods that does that for me is ramen. Like
a bowl of some
good ass ramen.
Because you can't not finish it.
Yeah. Immediate X. Like, I'm just like, I can't even think about anything sexy right now after eating a bowl of ramen. I feel accomplished when I finish a bowl of ramen, but I don't feel sexy after finishing a bowl of ramen.
I love that you say you feel accomplished.
Something. Crushing a bowl of ramen is an accomplishment. Always, always, always.
And they oftentimes have like a little note to you in the bottom of the bowl. Right?
Yeah.
The bowl says something.
Sometimes, yeah.
It should say like,
good job.
Yeah, good job.
You did it.
Heck yeah.
Have fun getting no action tonight.
You know what's really sexy? Sushi is a very sexy meal.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love sushi dates. That's one of my favorite things to do is just go.
At what date, though, is it appropriate to get sushi, do you say? What number date?
One.
First date.
Yeah. I agree. Just go.
One.
First
just
date.
Go.
Sushi.
Yeah.
And you can even go to a nice place.
Oof. Yeah. Nice sushi for a first date.
I was thinking about my own sushi dates, and there's one memory that comes up. It was I was really trying to show that I was a capital B baller, and so we went to like a nice omakase spot because this girl said that she was very into sushi. That can mean a lot of things, right? If you're somebody who is like us, all into food, very into sushi means you like omakase and you are there to experience it all, and then we're like on our way there in an Uber. We'd pre-gamed it a little bit, respectfully. And then she tells me a story about how she got kicked out of a sushi bar that was omakase for like asking them to make a spicy tuna roll and they wouldn't. And then she got belligerent.
Oh,
wow.
And I was just like,
oh, those are so many red flags.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
A couple of red flags and should have seen a couple of those. And then so this whole time at this meal, I'm just like looking at her, just like, do not ruin this for me.
Oh,
and we
man.
Ended up having a pretty good time.
That's
and spending
good.
Way too much money.
Yeah.
But yeah, Q Sushi downtown. What a time.
Omakase is a very sexy concept too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm leaving it. Like I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave it up to the chef. I want to get to know you. Like I want to know exactly what makes you tick. But hey, just bring the sushi as it comes.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to look at the menu. I'm going to stare into your eyes.
You just literally go, omakase please. And it's just like whatever. Like that's a very sexy thing. Like as a woman, if a guy does that, I'm like, oh, fantastic. Like, it's so hot. But another thing is like steak. Like everyone says steak and red wine is very sexy. What's your take on that, both of you?
I think it's romantic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes you have that. It is an expensive place.
Yeah.
You are going to take a longer time with dinner.
Yes, true.
As I said, my wife doesn't eat beef.
Yes.
So it's sort of a one-sided sexiness in my life, you
personal
know.
Personal sexiness.
It's like I'm having a great time. She's like, And they don't even have chicken. Okay.
Like, I'll just autoerotic.
Have mashed potatoes. Actually, I think one of the sexiest dishes I ever had was, in fact, mashed potatoes.
Wow.
We went to the Joel Robuchon restaurant.
Oh, my gosh. The one in Vegas? Oh, in Monaco?
This was on a, you know, like the trip before we had babies. It was like my 30th birthday. And yeah, it was that so many amazing things at a fancy restaurant where you spent like more money than you've ever spent on a food, on the meal. But then we couldn't stop talking about the mashed potatoes. Just so like creamy, luscious.
I feel like I know the facial expressions you made at each other as you put them in. Because the Robuchon potatoes, it's
They're
like equal
infamous.
Parts butter potato. He uses the rat potato.
Yes, he does.
He found the perfect starch balance of a potato to be able to. It's like a whole thing. And the texture in your mouth is like a cloud.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's one of the most insane food experiences I've ever had. Mm-hmm. I was having dinner with my dad, though, so I wouldn't consider it sexy, but it was one of the most insane food experiences I've ever had. Also, like, a lot of the times, whoever you're eating with is also a very important part of it.
Yeah,
like,
Ned, what's the sexiest eating time you've had with your dad?
Cool.
Stop it. Let me
just... Outback Steakhouse 2014. We got the blue.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, okay, so mentioning the steak thing, like, to me, ordering food at a restaurant, cooking food yourself on a date, to me, it's all just a reflection of, like, you. Everything you do is putting out, like, a message that you want to send. So for me, I'm never somebody that would want to, like, order a big-ass steak or red wine or anything, because I never want to put off, like, hey, I'm a big masculine guy, and that's what you can expect from me through this relationship. Because if I did that, you would be absolutely disappointed, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm more the type of person who's, like, asking what farm the peppers are from on the kingfish crudo, which is a real thing I did on my first date and almost ruined it because I didn't know that was a douchebag thing to do. He was like, it's a habanero pepper. It's a habanero that's been bred to take out all the spice but still leave all that sunny, bright flavor.
That's interesting.
And I was like, oh, what farm is the habanero from? Because I knew it was only two farms, either Kong Tao or Row 7 Seed Company. And anyways, turns out you don't want to show your hand that much. Like, you show the appropriate amount of who you are on a first date. And then sometimes you leave the weirdness to yourself. But yeah, I think
it
like,
does
you know,
feel like since you already knew the two farms, you weren't like asking to get
he
polite information.
Off.
You were sort of just trying to get the waiter in a gotcha.
I didn't say I know there's only two farms. Yeah. I wanted to know. And it turns out it was Dan Barber at Row 7. So
you knew.
It.
Yeah, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
And you liked it.
Well, a little bit. But sometimes there's like, you know, you can bury a little part of yourself to only show the best part.
Sure. I get that. I remember actually the first time I met my husband, the first time we like met, I baked a cake for my friend's birthday. So there was a period of time when I was like making cakes for everybody. You know, if it was your birthday, I was making you a layer cake. You told me every single thing you wanted on the cake and I would do it. So it's my friend's birthday and I bring out this big, beautiful, bright pink cake with sprinkles and like special candles and stuff. And then that's whenever he fell in love with me. That's whenever he was like, you. He's like, you're the one. So I think cake was actually the first one, not that dinner.
Oh,
sorry, I had to make a little loop-de-loop.
Little addendum.
Yeah, a little addendum. So, David, I know you're listening. The cake was when you fell in love with me.
We
it's
know
official.
David listens because every time a podcast publishes, he texts both of us. And he's like, that was a great podcast.
He gives
like, thanks, David.
Really good feedback. He always
he's
does.
Great. Julia, come on. Start, at least give us an Apple rating.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's the sexiest restaurant you've been to in LA recently?
Oh,
do you have
man.
One? Or not even LA, just like the sexiest restaurant you've been to, experience-wise.
I am blanking on the name, but I'm remembering the experience.
If
it
you
was.
Tell us the experience, we'll probably
yeah,
be able
we'll
to
Yeah, we'll probably
deduce.
Know it. We're mm-hmm. sexy people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a omakase mm-hmm. place mm-hmm. in New York in Greenwich Village.
Nice.
And it was just like every single, they only did like only did sashimi. Every single dish was just amazing, decadent. And then like at the end, they did a tableside, you know, creme brulee where they're just taking out a blowtorch, just making it very like...
That's
just
awesome.
Very festive, and it was all, it's like a 3-hour dinner, just very romantic.
That's beautiful.
I'll have to look up the name of the place.
3 hours is a long time to eat.
Those are the best mm-hmm. meals to me, the marathon meals where
marathon
you are just,
and
you, I love, especially like omakase uh-huh. and a lot of sushi restaurants, you can kind of lose yourself in that, right?
Sure.
Like you get lost in the sense of place and the magic of the moment, especially because it's something that you can't do, right?
Yeah, no way.
Like I've done, you know, crudos and stuff at home, but everything I have at like a nice omakase restaurant, I'm like, oh, I can never do that.
Of course.
I don't know where to find a freshwater river eel. I mean, I think actually messed up. We do know
actually,
where to find
we,
it.
We
yeah,
know
yeah,
where
we
to
just
find
don't
it.
Know how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, I mean, sexy, it's something that's so subjective because I'm now at a point in my life where, like, I don't want to go to the Joël Robuchon restaurants. I don't want to do that. I want to, like, find the, you know, hole in the wall that I am very comfortable at and that serves really dank food. And it's funny, I actually sent Rhett and Jesse there as well. This is B Taqueria
mm-hmm.
Down in West Adams.
Nice.
They do a ton. Omakase, dude, keeps coming up. They do a taco omakase. It's the chef that used to work in fine dining. He worked like Joe's in Santa Monica.
Oh, epic.
Yeah, that place
Great
is
spot.
A breeding ground for chef talent.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then he opened up his own taco shop and decided he wanted to just do, you know, taco omakase for like four diners a night. And so we sat in this table like under a palapa. It's really in just kind of like a dirt tract. And it's BYOB.
Mm-hmm,
and
cool.
I don't know if it's legal or not. I hope I don't get them busted, but you can just bring your own liquor. And so we just bought a bottle of tequila and a 12 pack of Modelo, one for the kitchen, one for us.
Good.
And then we just sat there with two friends just eating and drinking and kibitzing the night away. And then the freaking food was so unexpected because we went there with like roughly no expectations.
Sure.
And then he's like, yeah, there's a tree that grows bougainvilleas, the
sure.
flower.
Love those flowers.
Above the freeway. And I foraged the bougainvilleas from the freeway
Whoa.
Tree and then made a mole out of it. And that was the single best taco I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
And just gorgeous, elegant presentation. It was one of those where we were there for like 3.5-4 hours. We're drinking with the kitchen. Afterward, the dude was like, our card machine's not working. Do you have cash? And it was like a $400 meal. And we're like, nah, dude, can we just Venmo you? And so we're like drunk in the parking lot trying to like figure out a Venmo transaction that's still legal and taxable. And to me, like that was the sexiest dinner. But in fact, it was something completely
wow.
unexpected, you know, sun rays shining through the palapa.
Wow.
And yeah, that's my favorite thing is like finding that new spot that I haven't sort of heard about
yeah.
or,
nice.
Or have any
Because there's a sense of serendipity. You've sort of
mm-hmm. yeah.
like,
yeah.
you've sort of stumbled upon it or you're discovering mm-hmm. something together. Sure,
yeah.
you can like, you know, look up on Yelp a whole bunch of things mm-hmm. or like a Michelin star thing and like curate the perfect experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sexy in a different way. But like when you're kind of like discovering something
yeah.
together and it feels like special,
yeah.
I think that's very sexy.
There's like a risk-taking element
mm-hmm.
to it
sure.
that I really like. I mean, practice safe sex, but you know, like in practice risk-taking meal behaviors before it.
Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite. I love going to a place that has like $5 signs on Yelp.
You're just bougie.
I know.
You're just
I am.
Bougie.
I am. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not. I love like the whole like risk versus reward when it comes to finding like a new
mm-hmm.
spot, a new hole in the wall, whatever. But like, take me to Cut. Take
oh,
me to
yeah, yeah.
Sexy Steakhouse.
That is a euphemism for sex, by the way.
Oh, really?
The Cut.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Do you not remember that from the songs, to get in the cut?
I don't
Anyone?
Know.
Meggie, can you
I
Urban Dictionary
I have no idea what
cut?
You're talking about.
Go on.
Oh, sorry. But no, like for me, I like the kind of extravagant opulence, and I think there's
oh,
like
in the cut, Meggie, in the cut. Sorry, Nicole, go ahead.
But honestly, like I think going to those expensive, like lavish, like insane places is sexy to me, and then sometimes it really turns me off. Like thinking
Why?
About like I don't know.
In what context does it turn
again?
You off?
It's like in the beginning stages of like courting.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's like mm-hmm. yeah, take me to this cool place that has $4 signs on Yelp. Order whatever you want. I'm just gonna close my eyes, even though I'm very particular about the menu and I've already looked at it like 10 days before. But after like being like married or with someone for a long time, you don't want that anymore. You know what I mean? It gets tired. It gets stale. So I like it in the beginning, but at the end, I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the cut, sexual intercourse.
Yeah, yeah.
The cut how about means, that?
Nicole can say it. I can't.
I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I learned a new word.
Look at us. Look at us expanding everyone's vocabulary. What's like the most intimate romantic cooking memory you have with your partner? Like just the best memory you have of just getting down and not getting down. Getting down is another slang for sex. Just like really like cooking something together, like a big project or.
David and I don't cook together.
Ever.
He definitely is my prep
What does
chef.
He do while you cook?
He works. He works.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to like accuse. No, like he works.
He works. He makes money. He goes and makes money. Yeah, he goes into the office and he works. And I like that.
Yeah,
please
makes
go.
Sense.
Like I don't like he comes in, like he helps me like prep vegetables and he cuts me things and he helps me with dishes, which I really appreciate. But like I'm the one cooking.
Yeah.
Like I'm the girl, like I'm going to come. I'm going to make dinner. Like, I know it's very, like, kind of draconian to think about, but, like, I kind of like it. Like, I'm the one cooking the meal. You eat it. Tell me if it's good or not. And he always is very honest. And he'll always tell me if the food, like, isn't the best or if it needs work or if it's delicious. He's always very honest. So I don't have any of those, like, synergistic kitchen moments with him. And I kind of like that. It's my territory, you know?
I feel that.
You don't need to.
I won't go to the gym with Julia for that same reason. This is my place.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I think we're somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. We're both like type A, like kind of like to be in control of the situation.
I'm so
in the
type
kitchen,
B. That's not true.
Oh yeah,
no, she's not. She's a liar. You can't.
Am I?
It's like how you can't smell your own farts. You can't tell if you're type A or type B. Yeah, you're type A.
Am I really?
Yes.
I feel like I'm the most type B person whenever it comes to like planning stuff.
We don't have time to psychoanalyze.
Sorry,
you.
Okay,
no,
continue.
You are type A.
Continue.
But yeah, so we'll like each kind of have the dish that we're working on. I find when you can find a good dish that you can collaborate on, that's great. Very sexy. Like pizza flatbreads, always a great dish for that because you're like, oh, what topping do you want to put on? But I one of the most delicious and romantic dishes that I can remember was something that Ariel cooked. It was just a simple pasta, but with a fresh basil, fresh cherry tomatoes from the garden, some pine nuts, some really good mozzarella, just kind of like the cherry tomatoes are like lightly blistered, just really, it just was like bursting with flavor. So like sweet, but also just like everything was perfectly cooked and it's just such a simple meal. And, you know, just like one of those romantic date nights at home. I was just like, wow, this is great. This is awesome.
Gorgeous.
You know.
That sounded very sexy and very
happy
sweet.
Happy our kids are asleep.
I love that. That's excellent.
Julie and I had this day during quarantine. We would take up like really big cooking projects because she's really into food as well. And I would tend to give her, you know, the less flavorful elements of it and the more structural ones, right? Like,
okay.
So if like, you know, we're making dough and it's like, follow this recipe. And so, you know, we did this, like we made a ton of handmade tortellini with like, you know, a braised short rib ragu kind of thing.
Great.
But I mean, it took us like 6 hours to do this thing start to finish. And we were just drinking wine alone in her apartment, like blinds drawn on a Sunday. I remember just sending like a video of me singing Our Song by Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Shirtless in the kitchen, drinking wine, covered in flour, to one of my best friends. And I was like, I vaguely remember that. But to me, those like big all day events, I almost yearn for it because we did that a ton in quarantine. And then now it's like we have, you know, there's social obligations or family stuff that you have to do. And now I'm just like, just lock us in a room with some flour and eggs, put on the T-Swift, grab a bottle of wine and let's go.
That's so cute. You know? Yeah. I love love. I really do.
God, love. Yeah, I think we're all in that. We need like a detractor. Mm-hmm. Maggie, how much do you hate love? Yeah, Maggie gave the middle fingers to love. I feel that.
You know what's not a sexy food, but people think is a sexy food? Tell them, Josh. What's the thing you hate? What's the thing you hate? The thing dipped in the thing?
Oh, chocolate covered strawberries?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about polenta because I talked about making polenta.
Oh,
I would
polenta
try
is sexy.
In college, when I was faking it, I would like, you know, invite girls over and be like, hey, I'll cook you because I'm in food. And for some freaking reason, I would always make polenta with mushroom fricassee. And now if I ever made that for anybody in my life, I would just jump off the balcony because it was Scott Conant's recipe too.
Nice.
And no one liked it. No one was happy. You think the college girls, Nicole, on the meta, you pulled a number at a party drinking Natty Light?
Fricassee is not the thing to make a college girl. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But no, chocolate covered strawberries are not
I'm not
sexy.
Even sure cooking at home for a college girl is really
the move.
No
that's
one
nice
wanted it. No one asked it. It never got any positive response. It was always like, this is weird and I'm uncomfortable.
Mm.
And
I'm just sorry.
Like, I'm just like, well, did you try the Chianti?
But on the subject of chocolate covered strawberries.
So you think chocolate covered strawberries are not romantic?
I just think they're bad food.
They're
I think
gross.
They're a bad food. I think they're romantic because they're movies.
The idea of them is always more romantic mm-hmm, than the actual mm-hmm. taste.
I think you're right.
Because like the way that they look and the act of like dipping it in something gooey that then hardens, you know, it's like kind of sexy. It's like
ooh, yeah. Nothing says sex like goo that hardens.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of it's like evocative of like you know dripping wax or mm-hmm. something like that, mm-hmm. Or like. Strawberries and cream or something. But when you taste it, it's not great. Like,
the chocolate is
not good anymore.
Yeah.
it also wasn't great chocolate to begin mm-mm. with. And then the strawberry is like way too large. You're not getting a good like mm-hmm. chocolate to strawberry ratio.
Yeah. Just, not my thing.
I agree with you.
Well, what's the alternative? What's the pitch?
Fondue.
What's the pitch right here? Fondue?
Fondue. Cheese fondue.
Hell yeah.
But not the strawberries.
What do you dip? What's the sexiest thing to dip in cheese fondue? What's your... Give me the sharp thing, bitch. Some Hebrew natties.
A piece of bread. A simple piece of
bread.
Yeah,
that's probably right.
Bread is sexy.
I think make crudité sexy. Pickles, baby. Give me some
crudité
pickles.
Crudité is sexy.
Give me like a nice pickle plate with like a za'atar yogurt in the middle. Mm.
Sexiest vegetable on three. One, two, three. Celery.
Cucumber.
What did you say? Cucumber too?
You guys!
This is the gender divide, Nicole.
No, no, no.
This is the
celery
gender divide.
Root. Celery root is hot when you make it into a puree.
What do you... No, what?
Yes! It's so sexy.
It's
sunchoke?
Much. It smells like farts. Sunchokes make you fart worse than anything... I was looking at someone in the office. I don't want to out who, but they had like a dietary supplement to make them poo better.
Uh-huh.
And sunchoke was like part of it.
No way.
Yeah, if your sexiest vegetable can be distilled into a powder to make you poop better, I don't think that's sexy. Or, well, colon health is sexy.
There's nothing sure. sexier than a healthy GI tract, Josh. Come on.
We're making kombucha cocktails all day, baby.
Something about the things that are gooey, mm-hmm. things that are like the oysters, it's like they're slippery. Sushi is also kind of like, I feel like there's just something, are we just looking for foods that remind us of sex?
Of just lube? Yeah. Any food that's self-lubricated.
We're looking to just lube up our mouths.
I will say, the thing about oysters
like, no one's
is,
like, call crackers are sexy.
Unless they're chicken and a biscuit. Those are good. No, I will. Okay, so there. Ned and I both went to cucumber. Obviously, it's a very phallic food. It's green. Green's a sexy color.
No, it's
like the
not.
Jolly Green Giant's dong.
Green
sorry for saying dong on the podcast.
Sexy.
But no, there are many phallic foods out there, and there are very few yonic foods.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And also, there's not a great antonym for phallic other than yonic. Which is, that's about
it's
it.
A new one, I'm learning.
Of or related to yoni, which is, Nicole, the feminine divine.
Sure.
Anywho.
You know more than I
more
do.
More yonic foods. That's how we're ending this.
It's Sophia Franklin, and if you don't already know, listen up. My mini-series is live now, each and every Monday, and the only person missing is you. We're dating, we're dumping, we're learning, and we're tapping into all the feels that originally brought us together. Listen and follow Sophia with an F on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nicole and Ned, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole.
All right, Nicole, first up, you want to take a crack?
Sure. The Life of E.T. says chocolate-covered strawberries, okay, are only good if the chocolate is melted fondue chocolate and the strawberry is cold. Hardened chocolate makes a mess and doesn't stick to the strawberry once you've taken the first bite. We already talked about
this. We've covered it. Yeah, they know. They know what's up.
But adding the fondue element, Nicole, you think poking and dipping sexy.
I like poking and dipping.
What is fondue chocolate? I don't know if I'm
familiar
with
like,
that.
It's just melted chocolate. They probably add a little bit of like cream to make it like ganache.
Uh-huh.
And you just kind of dip and you go. And it doesn't harden.
So it doesn't harden as
It doesn't harden as much. It like kind of gels.
It gets like fudgy.
Fudgy.
It's all fudgy. Right, yeah, the melting pot. Now that's a sexy restaurant. You got a couple screaming kids on their birthday.
I've always wanted to go to the melting pot. And I've never been. And I know Justin Bieber loves the melting pot. I really want to go.
Is that a ringing endorsement for you? I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I don't like the guy. Really,
I don't like this. Like, I don't dislike him.
But like, if Justin Bieber likes it, I want to try it at least once.
I mean, yeah, at least once.
He's sexy, right?
he's a sexy man. We got at Black Ghost 54. I would let cheese pull all over me whenever it wanted.
Oh yeah.
Just like wrapping around you like a hot blanket.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I just nothing like mozzarella sticks to get you in the mood. But I mean, it's true. Like looking at cheese pulls, that's like it's especially on like online videos.
Oh, what kind of online videos you watching with Ariel, huh?
It tweaks your pleasure center.
I mean, it just gives you a boner.
After a decade, you know, you need to keep things all spicy.
Just watch some nice cheese pull.
Listen, I know it's fake in the Pizza Hut commercial, but it's real to me.
That's kind of, it's like a satisfying, it's like, it's, you're just like, oh. Like, it's whenever someone, like, takes whipped cream and, like swipes the whipped cream so it's, like, very even. It's a satisfying. Mm-hmm. Like, your pleasure center just goes boop, boop, boop.
Yep.
Like, I'm awake now.
No, I don't want to eat the kick. I just want to watch someone make it.
I don't want to just, like, to sit in the corner and watch, baby. just kind of, you know, open the little blinds in the closet and
that's
let me
again with the gooiness.
I think cheese is objectively disgusting.
I
like
love
objectively
cheese.
It is the gross. If you think about somebody who has never heard of what cheese is, right?
Okay.
Right? It's like, have you ever been to the cheese section of a grocery store?
I love it.
Just smells like feet. You just took cow titty milk and you just let it rot until it just kind of pulls and stretches like a mucous membrane from the body.
Well, yeah, when you paint it like that,
well,
Josh.
Yeah, that's what it is. What do you mean when you
gross.
Paint it like the reality of the situation? Of course, it is a disgusting food. I enjoy it.
Well, how about this? How about you're taking cow milk and fermenting it so it can have more flavor and you add a little bit of bacteria. I'm not doing really well. Never mind.
Oh, yeah,
that's bacteria.
Sometimes.
Okay, next up.
Is this me? No, it's you.
No, it's me. JG, how do I say this? JG M fan says the most sensual way to prepare and consume liver is in mousse form.
Then what's the most sensual way you've prepared a liver?
I mean, for my wife, it's to just throw it in the garbage immediately. But I would say, like, you know, something spreadable, right? Like, you know, just like a pate, which I guess is what they're saying with mousse form. But
they're on the right track.
I like.
I don't have a ton of experience. It's oftentimes the giblets come out and Ariel's like, ew, gross. I'm like, but we could do so many things with this.
Mm-hmm. I like liver. I think it can be sexy. I think any food can be sexy if you try to make it sexy. Yeah.
What? I'm trying to think if there's a food that you couldn't make sexy.
I mean, if I pan-seared a really good liver, like a chicken liver or like a beef liver, I think it could be sexy.
I think so. You'd have to really gussy it up.
We got to give liver a new name.
Mm.
We have to rebrand liver.
What's like the French word for it?
Like, I don't know, but in thymus gland is sweetbreads.
Oh, that's a good point.
Thymus gland is, when you think about it, eating a thymus gland,
Nobody wants that.
Freaking gross.
Yeah, second date, gross. I ate thymus gland with Jules.
But like, whatever, she understands food.
Good.
Hot.
It is super hot, man. Yeah. Birdie G's.
What does the thymus gland do? Is it like hormones?
I believe it's part of the endocrine system.
Yeah, regulates your body.
Bro, it's just straight
Nicole,
up.
Your body's going to go through changes, you see, and Ned's going to regulate.
Oh, man.
It's not that a mousse is the sexiest way to prepare liver. It's that every other way is incredibly unsexy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And also, yeah, Jules doesn't really mess with liver that hard, but I would have made a lot more pureed livers.
Sometimes it's got a very distinct smell, but then again, so do oysters.
Yeah, I make my mom liver sometimes. Not really sexy.
That's sexy.
Yeah. never made David liver. Never made any sort of like partner liver. It's not a sexy food.
I'd love a good chicken liver mousse. And to me, it's a very sexy food. The liver at Alimento is another sexy date night restaurant.
Nice. Alimento is so sexy.
Very intimate. Mm-hmm.
I had the most insane pasta experience there. The tortellini and brodo was probably the sexiest experience I've had with food.
It explodes with cheese mush in your mouth. That's sexy.
It was sexy.
Exploding goo.
It was delicious. It was the most, my feet started to like tap on the floor when I was
curler.
Eating it.
Yeah. Got a little toe curler from the pasta in the bowl.
Yeah, it was insane. Alimento's great. Who else has a really good chicken liver toast? Animal. Animal. Yeah. Remember that?
Oh, please? No. I was going to say Bestia, which
Bestia.
Is Italian for animal.
Mm. Bestia's Italian for
I
animal?
I mean, like, ish.
What?
Beast? Beast? Anyways, we got, here we go, at SogGoth69. Nice. Sex and food never mix. It always ends up with things that shouldn't be sticky getting sticky and a mess to clean up. Keep the kitchen and the bedroom separate. Anyone want to volunteer?
I'm going to pass on this
I'm
one.
Grossly opposed to it. I like the smells of each separately. Don't like the smells of them together. Especially when it's aerosolized like whipped cream. No,
ew,
no, that was an
yeah.
experiment that I'm never going to do again.
I never got
but
that.
But I think it's like you should have the experiment.
Oh, you got to do it.
You should try
yeah.
it.
You're not going to know
if you
like,
haven't
you
tried
like.
It. You should try it. And then you can know, do I ever want to do that again?
Ned, it sounds like you've done more than experimented with it, man.
No, I think we did it. I think we did it about once. And that was yeah. that was cool and all. And then, yeah, everything was sticky
yeah.
and that
yeah.
was that.
Yeah. I'm going to have to lay down a tarp.
I firmly believe in, like, compartmentalizing your life. And food is a big part of my life. And I can't have the food come into the sex part.
Yeah.
Just not at this point in my life. Maybe
you
when
don't
want
to turn yourself into an ice cream sundae.
No, no.
What's that fetish called, though? It's something like smoshing, but it's not smoshing
oh.
because
it's
Smosh is
food.
The company that exists.
I don't know, but it's a thing. Like, it's
my,
a food fetish.
Yeah, yeah. My recipes from my food blog were very decadent. Yeah, Maggie, if you're going to search it, good luck. The recipes I used to write for my food blog were very decadent, and once they ended up on this Tumblr that was called, like, you know, like, I Love Food or Food Love or something, and I was
oh,
like,
no.
oh, it must be another food blog sharing my stuff, and I click in, and it is just naked people smashing themselves into cakes.
Wow.
Sploshing, not
oh,
smoshing. Yeah, yeah.
Some results may be explicit.
Is this
yeah.
on
like
the work server?
Results.
Delete.
Research. They, you know, covering themselves, and sometimes yeah. it's, like, sweet stuff, chocolate syrup sprinkles, and sometimes it's just, like, a bunch of, like, gravy, you know? It's, like,
no.
It's pretty cool. Shout out. We're not kink shamers here.
And, you know, we talked about omakase a lot today, but
yeah.
For an early Try Guys video, I was a sushi model.
Oh,
which,
no.
Is the, you know, vibe of eating sushi off someone's naked body.
Yeah. That was like a thing.
It's a little strange, a little kind of, what?
How'd you feel doing that? Vulnerable?
I felt objectified. And then, you know, it was a little ticklish. And then
oh, my God.
We invited the entire office, like a office-wide email. Anyone who wants to can go as like free sushi. Didn't
Long.
Tell them what it was going to be. And it was, that was embarrassing.
That was a thing.
You learn a lot about who's taken sushi off you from where
mm-hmm.
in that. I feel like it says more about the people
the,
than you.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Remember how you put ranch on your body?
Yo, yeah, yeah.
And I audibly gagged the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. This is not like an old story. This is Friday, the last work day that we had been in here. I was shirtless on the countertop where we cook all of our stuff.
Yep.
Covering myself in ranch.
For a photo shoot?
Yeah, it was like a bit. It was
yeah.
a bit for a TikTok. So
yeah.
if you can't... I have no shame. I'm like gross, but then when it comes down to like actual sex and food,
sure.
I'm like, no, I don't want that.
Good.
But yeah, I'll cover myself in ranch for a bit, of course. God. This is 2 days after covering myself. We don't want to give away when stuff's shot, but I covered myself in maple syrup in a baby pool just days before that.
Correct. Sumo Deadlift says, avocado toast that is done correctly is kind of sexy, low-key.
Oh, wow. Okay. That I wouldn't have thought of that one.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you have a morning after... Do you have a morning after avocado toast in the book?
I think we do.
Yeah.
That is our avocado toast.
I remember
toast.
Reading that, and I was like, that is a good time for
that
avocado toast.
That is where my head was going. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, avocado toast, not sexy unless
yes.
it is the morning after. Yeah, if you can whip out just a... really stellar avocado toast
mm-hmm.
morning after.
It's impressive.
Oh,
a couple of fun little garnishes,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, it's an mm-hmm. impressive yeah, yeah. breakfast. Is breakfast sexy?
Morning after breakfast, certainly.
Morning
sexy.
After breakfast.
What is, do you have a morning after breakfast, Nicole?
I used to make Eggs Benedict.
Oh.
Ooh.
I used to turn it out.
Oh my God. What kind of,
wow.
What was the holidays? You double boiler?
Yeah.
Or
how'd,
yeah.
how'd you?
I would be very impressive. I would pull out a
just
yes.
whip out a hollandaise sauce.
I am an impressive young woman.
You're
yes.
like, if last night didn't impress you, let me jump in this morning.
I would make Eggs Benedict and they'd be like, wow. And then one time I microwaved the Eggs Benedict like a dummy, and it broke, and I'm like, and I was just in shambles. I'm like, I'm so sorry, Mike. And he's like, it's chill, like, don't worry about it.
I just
yeah.
have some toast.
yeah. But Eggs Benedict used to be like the meal after, and it was good.
Yeah,
it was impressive.
I just
woman.
Always have the things for a frittata, you know. And you say frittata, it's kind of sexy.
Frittata,
you know. But I'm not proud of it. That's like a
frittata's a sexy egg.
Yeah, you know,
sexy incredible. Egg dish.
I need to get a better morning after meal. Also sumo deadlifts. Anyone who says sumo deadlifts don't count. I think that's a gender bias.
What is a sumo deadlift?
Sumo deadlift is where you split your legs out wide and you hold the bar from the middle in between your feet, as opposed to hands on the outside of your feet.
Oh,
and you deadlift it that way. And
women sumo
tend
squats.
To be better. Yeah, yeah, sumo thing.
Squats.
Women tend to be better at sumo
I
deadlifts.
I know a sumo squat.
General sort of hip structure. Yeah, yeah. So shout out, you know, do your sumo deadlifts. That was my pedestal. Alrighty, we got add moped Sally. Whipped cream smells awful after 20 minutes. Not for use in the boudoir.
Okay, well, God, somebody doing more than 20 minutes. Okay, okay, I see you bragging. Okay.
Like, yeah, 20 minutes. I'm already showered. Dried, baby.
No.
I'm in front of the TV catching up on Breaking Bad.
There's one way to fix this, and it's Cool Whip. hydrolyzed oils, ladies and
it's
germs.
Cheaper?
Yeah. There's larger, you don't have to do the noise can be kind of off-putting for some people.
That's nice. I say just go mayonnaise. You know what?
Ew.
Mayonnaise just kind of
go away.
What? Oh, you
need
and
a
your ivory
out.
Towers.
You need a timeout.
Here.
You need a timeout. Yes. Gross.
It will give you a rash though.
Ew.
That's so much.
Michigan 09 says drizzle honey on anything and it's sexy.
Mm. It's like bee vomit. You know what honey is, right? Bees they vomited up.
I wasn't thinking of it in terms of
it
that, no.
You
no.
too. You just got to start thinking deeper. You know, cheese is just
they had me
cheese.
At drizzle. Honestly, they had me at drizzle.
Yeah.
You could
have
said drizzle and then anything, and I would have been like, yeah.
Drizzle of mayonnaise.
Stop bringing mayonnaise into this, dude.
Honestly, if you could thin it up and drizzle that bad boy, I'd be like, oh, yeah.
The halal guy's light sauce, bring that into the bedroom.
Jeez Louise. I think drizzling honey on certain things is very sexy, like on like a beautiful piece of brie, like go for it. Like drizzling truffle honey on like a piece of like, I don't know, osobuco might be good, but not on everything. On some things, yes.
You know what? I've done my morning after that's been successful and it's very true to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little fruit and yogurt parfait.
Ooh,
how about that?
A parfait?
Yeah, parfait, yeah. You know, kind of you get a little, like a nice glass.
It's a little like I'm on like running out the door to my Pilates class, but like it could be sexy.
Again, I try and like temper people's expectations how masculine I am because I think a lot of people, especially when I was single and on the apps, it was like, you know, not to brag, but like, you know, like 6'2", a lot of my photos are going to be flexing and lifting, so you know, want to put that forward. But then I'm like, I want to subdue your expectations of that. So we're eating, you know, a nice seafood, heavy, elegant dinner, drinking white wine, and then eating a yogurt parfait in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Light.
Mm-hmm.
That's sexy. Light breeze. Right.
Nice. That's sexy.
Not
going to be too heavy. Slow you down.
All right. Last one here. We got at Paw Barian. There isn't a way to shop for zucchini that isn't sexual.
It's easy for me. I just go in there and I pick up some zucchinis. I put them in a bag. It doesn't need to be sexual.
Sounds pretty sexy to me, Nicole. Ned, what's the sexiest time you've had with a zucchini?
Well, you know, probably like shooting a video where you're testing out sex hacks and putting a condom on a zucchini.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
actually way less sexy to me.
Strange
watching
memory.
You put a condom on a zucchini than just putting it in a bag at Ralph's.
Yeah, probably. That's pretty. Yeah,
does
that's
that mean I win
sexy.
The sexy competition?
Nicole wins the sexy
I
competition.
I win.
What is it? People are sensual. Vegetables are sensuous. It's an obscure reference to the movie Animal House. All right. On that note, let me scroll to the part where our outro is, despite the fact that I've done it 90 times. Can't remember what to say. Oh, thank you for listening. We thank the listeners every time. They're entitled. That's absurd. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at @MythicalChef or @Nhandizada with the hashtag #OpinionCasserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at @MythicalKitchen.
Ned, thanks so much for joining us and talking about, you know, uncomfortable subjects. Congrats on having sex to produce two lovely children.
Amen.
Yeah, where can people find you? What do you got to plug?
You can check out the Date Night Cookbook at datenightcookbook.com.
Beautiful.
It's a really great cookbook, and it is like
it's
actually has a utility, which is a thing that like, you know, not a lot of cookbooks do.
I agree.
Like buy it, cook for your partner. If us talking about how much we love cooking for our partner didn't sell you over the last 45 minutes or so, nothing will. But yeah, really awesome job, Ned. Good stuff.
Thanks, y'all.
Take care.